It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by Johnny Phillips.
Hello.
And Christine Horvath.
Hey.
And today we really stepped up the big dumb part of Big Dumb Picture Show by watching the 1992 action classic Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal. And man, if you like knife fighting, is this the movie for you?
Knives and necks.
Oh yeah. Knives, necks, throat rips, throat chops. Erica Leniak showing her boobies.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Just a real fun time. Also, a nice little turn from Damien Chapa, who literally the only other thing I've seen him as is Ken in the Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Something for everyone.
Yeah. Fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
But this is one of the most financially successful, one of the best reviewed of the Steven Seagal movies, which is not hard when you look at the majority of his body of work. But I guess this is his Die Hard. So,
it's so like, he's, of all the TJs I've been to, this was the nicest TJ. Yeah. <So, like, laughs>
Well, let's get into it. This is obviously this is one of the biggest movies of Seagal's career. I think this is kind of the one that I feel like really gave him name recognition to a point. Like he'd done action films before this, but this is the one where like. I feel like people genuinely was like, oh, this was actually kind of a good action movie. So, Johnny and Christine, you guys have not seen this movie. So, Johnny, how have you not seen this?
No, I've never seen it. I don't know. I'm trying to think. That's why I was asking when it came out. You said 92.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been like 7. My mother was very strict. I definitely wasn't seeing it in theaters at the rate at which he's ripping out people's throats. But then I was like, you know, like sleepovers and stuff. I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't know. It's real weird. It never came up.
I feel like maybe my mom was, like, clearly my mom was different than our ones because, like, most people didn't see this shit when they were a kid. But, like, I would see these, like, the Lethal Weapons, every Schwarzenegger movie. I was just like, yeah, you can watch Terminator 2, Dustin. It's fine. You're 9 years old.
Yeah, I have not seen the Lethal Weapons. I mean, everything picked up after that. And then, like, I don't know, by the time. You got to like things I wanted to see that you weren't allowed to see. I don't know. It was other stuff. I'm trying to think what like action set piece movies like. I don't know. Then like Adam Sandler hit the scene, so you didn't get to sleep over at somebody's house without watching Billy Madison for like 3 times in a row. Like, so.
Sorry you didn't get to watch Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore's on.
And that was just my childhood.
I'm glad you obeyed your parents. My parents didn't want me to watch shit all the time, and I'd be like, well, I'm going to watch Ren and Stimpy anyway, Mom. Can I go to the basement?
I watched Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, I could get to that, but not. I mean, I couldn't get to the theater. I couldn't drive.
Fair enough.
So I guess a follow-up question to that really quick, Johnny. So when you were 7, what kind of movies were you watching?
Anything I could get my hands on, probably comic book related, I mean, at the time. But, I mean, there weren't any – there were some animated ones that I would watch. And then Turtles – I mean, Turtles was it. Like, that was just it. I had the Secret of the Ooze I got for my birthday, and I could just – walk you through that whole movie and just do it line for line. So, I mean, I would just rewatch that and stuff.
Okay, cool. Christine, how have you not seen this?
I feel like I've seen it in bits and pieces, like every Steven Seagal movie on TBS mm-hmm. where my dad flipped during commercials of golf tournaments. Like, this is the category of movies that this falls into. So, I haven't seen it, but like, I'm so familiar with the look of it. The format, the knife fighting.
Yeah.
You know, just by hanging out with my dad. Because he would like, he's like, you know, I have like uncles named Fred and Tony. Like they're into these kinds of movies.
Yeah. They're the target demo for Seagal.
Yeah, they're in. They're in it.
Did they knife fight at Christmas?
They didn't, thankfully. Yeah, no, I don't know. It's not a movie I would ever like be like, oh yeah, like I'm going to definitely carve time out of my day to watch that. Unless I'm doing a podcast, because this is fun.
Yeah. Cool. So, follow-up question to that. Generally, like, do you go in for action movies ever?
Sometimes. Not really. I mean, I don't know. I saw, like, one of the No. But my answer is no.
Okay. What were you going to say before that?
I don't know. I was going to say, like, I've seen, like, a couple of superhero movies, but, like, I don't know what any of them are called.
Okay.
I don't really watch them. But I do think that they are, like, this one was, like, so campy and, like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just corny. It was great.
One, honestly, too, like. The 92 really surprised me because this seems like it would have been very, very much at home, like at the tail end of the
80s. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like right in there. Like this seems like almost too late in the game to be what it is.
Yeah.
But it still works.
Yeah. Seagal finally found his voice in 92. Yeah.
And it was still very monotone and had no emotion.
So I guess, what do you normally go in for, Christine?
Go
movie-wise.
Comedies. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was like that age, I was like watching like Ace Ventura, just like okay. on repeat. The mat, oh, like yeah. anything Jim Carrey. I was like a Jim Carrey person. I wasn't an Adam Sandler kind of a gal.
Okay.
So I was watching like Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura and just like being real trashy.
I remember being at a friend's house and rewinding the second Ace Ventura when he came out of that rhino.
Oh, my
like
God.
30 minutes straight. Like, and we're just like a bunch Sick. Of little boys. And we're just like, this is just, life doesn't get any funnier than this. Yeah. Like, let's watch him come out of this rhino.
Yeah. My yeah. my most vivid memory of Ace Ventura When Nature Calls was the cliffhanger thing that they parody at the beginning where he drops the little raccoon to yeah. his death. My brother cried so hard during that scene.
No way.
He was so upset. And I think part of it was because as kids, for a couple of weeks, we had like a litter of baby raccoons that we took care of because like they'd been abandoned.
Oh
and we
That's
grew
adorable.
We grew really close to them. We lived in the woods. We were white trash.
Too soon.
And yeah, for whatever reason, like. And like, because he'd been giving me shit earlier that day too. Like, he called me a pussy for some reason or other. And then like we watched that, and I was like, "Are you crying? You know they didn't really kill that raccoon, right?" Like, sure, I've cried. Like, I saw Up. I cried right. during that. But like,
yeah,
I had a friend in high school get so upset in Anchorman when he kicks the dog. He's like, "That was not funny." I'm like. Not only is it a movie, but they went out of their way to make it look like a fake dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they went really out. That did. Was part of the gag.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it was like a stuffed animal. I was like, that's not funny.
Okay.
Oh, well, so now that we've made it through Under Siege, what did you guys think?
it was real corny. Like some of the lines in there were
oh, yeah.
real corny. I mean, it was fun. It was a fun neck fighting movie.
Yeah, it hit all the like you said, late '80s,
yeah.
like of like getting his throat ripped out, like stupid one liners from Seagal.
Yeah,
take my powers.
Another
out
cold
of the
day
oven.
In hell.
Like another. I don't think he said anything in the cooler that wasn't just a one-liner.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is always in there.
Written
like
by...
you're not thinking with your head, Brandon. Whatever he's telling the guy. And then, like, random tits. Like, the girl pops up, like, oh, yeah, that's mandatory.
Yeah.
Like, she took 3 pills for being seasick, which then knocked her out, and she slept in the cake for like half the movie and then popped up out of the cake.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was like, God, I'd rather be a stripper than pop out of a cake. Like, I think that's more degrading that she just like came out of that cake. But
I think many strippers have popped out of cakes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they kind of go hand in hand.
But I think
I don't think you pop out of a cake.
No, I mean,
clothed.
I'd rather be on the stage.
Oh, on a
than
pole.
In a cake.
Rather be on,
you want
rather
the glory.
Be
on the
pole. Yes, at least give yeah. me the song and the glory. I don't want the facade of this cake in my way that like, oh, who I didn't know that Johnny was going to pop out of that cake.
Johnny, a slut for stage time.
It's about me. It's about me and whatever Rihanna song that I want
you
playing.
You win one
time.
Contest.
It'll be cake. The song will be cake.
Yeah, it would probably be cake.
Oh, man. I'm actually disappointed because there was a scene that I remembered incorrectly as being in this movie, and it's in the second movie. It's in Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, where Seagal obviously has another knife fight with one of the main bad guys and then beats him. But when he kills it, like, it's in the kitchen car of the train they're on. And after he kills him, he just looks at him and goes, "Nobody beats me in the kitchen." And I kept waiting for it. I was like, when is he going to say it in this movie? He's not in the kitchen now. So he had to have said it during that first scene. Does he not say it in this movie?
Yeah. I felt like they were really struggling to create conflict on that ship. You know, like the whole scene where the colonel or whoever it was comes up to Seagal and says, like, "We're ordering out," basically. And he's like, nobody cooks for anyone on this ship but me.
Yeah.
It's like, that is not really a conflict. That's just like a disagreement, really.
Well, it's a pissing contest, which I mean,
just a bad boy between all those
alpha males.
Yeah, that's just a really low stakes dick measuring contest. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I liked at the beginning how they immediately address, like, because they wanted to, that he wasn't in his whites. And I think that was just to get him in his black shirt for, like, the rest of the movie. Yeah. Like, there's no other reason. It's just like, we can't have him in his white uniform. We want him in his classic Steven Seagal black button up. But he's a sailor.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
You know, the real tragedy, the most embarrassing thing, would be to get stabbed in the head to death by a guy wearing a hoodie. Because for some reason, like, after he's off the boat, like, I guess it's because he was in the water, but, like, he switches, like, he's wearing a hoodie for the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, still killing guys and then knife fighting dudes while wearing a fucking hoodie. A pullover, too. Not even a zip up. Not even a cool hoodie.
Doesn't even have a logo on it.
Yeah.
What really threw me, too, was, like, they established at the beginning, it's like, all right, Gary Busey doesn't like Steven Seagal.
Oh.
And Gary Busey is the antagonist and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's just a hard-nosed guy. And Seagal's just trying to have a good time and cook up a jambalaya. And it's like... Then Busey comes in mid-celebration dressed as a woman.
Yeah,
and there's no explanation to why. Like, this was supposed to be the guy that was hard, like, and like, oh, he is a good time. It's like, no, why is he dressed like a woman?
I forgot about that scene.
And it's not even necessary for their, like, takeover either. I just think Gary Busey, like, demanded it in the contract.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm in this movie, I want to be dressed like a woman at some point.
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, very strange.
I mean, but it's also, that's fairly classic Busey, I feel
like.
Yeah,
you remember Busey. Yeah, it's just
true to his character as a real life person, not the one they tried to establish in the beginning of the movie. That's where I got thrown.
Oh, it's like, God. What's going on here? I kept thinking, how is he still alive? How is Gary Busey still alive?
Oh, man. Luck. Dumb luck. Like, it's entirely that.
Yeah. God. Sick.
Some people just got it.
Yeah.
I guess so.
The Busey gene, they'll live forever. Him and his son Jake.
Just looking like that.
Just having that face.
I also love, like, I don't really think I've ever seen Gary Busey. Well, that's not fair. I've not seen the Buddy Holly biopic that he's in, so that may be the exception. But, like, I've never seen him play a character different than what he plays in this, pretty much. Like, even when he's a good guy, like, he's always a gigantic, crazy asshole,
yeah,
too.
Right?
Like, even in, like, Point Break and, like, Predator 2, like, he's a good guy, but he's, like, he's still kind of a fucking lunatic.
Yeah. I wonder what celebrities he hangs out with. Like, my first guess is Kid Rock.
How did he break in? That's what I want to know. Man. And then just demand that every role he plays, like, kind of changes to him being a psychopath.
I'll bet, like, he's just completely unmanageable. Like, he just writes his own roles, and then they're like, well, Busey's being Busey, I guess we're just going to roll with it.
It reminds me of, like, the way the persona was kind of created for, like, Tracy Morgan, where it's just you know what you're getting.
Right,
take
right,
it or
right,
leave
right.
it.
Oh,
like,
Tracy Jordan on Thirty Rock.
Yeah,
Rock,
but
mean?
It's going to...
Yeah.
Well, but yeah.
Or
it's
just
like,
Tracy
whenever,
Morgan.
Whenever you get it, like, he's going to take over. Don't try to tell him what to do.
Yeah,
like,
I wonder if a lot of that comes from, like, because he was... I think he was nominated for an Academy Award for that Buddy Holly movie that he did. So, like, at that point, they're probably just like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And I'm pretty sure that that was pre-Lethal Weapon when he did that. So
interesting.
Weird guy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely weird guy. Weird.
He was in Entourage for a while, too.
Is he ever a lead, or is he just like a...
That's what I'm trying to
think. There's been a couple. I know there was an action movie in the 80s where he was, like, the protagonist. And I don't remember what it was called. I remember Danny Trejo was a very minor role in it. And I remember one of the early scenes is him like doing this raid like by himself, and he drops in, and his cool action hero line is, "What's up, butthorns?"
No.
Or something very similar. He calls them butthorns.
No.
I was like, what is this?
Oh, there was a line like that.
BCB and BC.
Yep.
I almost got my pad of paper out when we were watching this because somebody had a line that butthorns was similar to that.
That's bad.
Well, also, I always wanted to watch. I never got to see because there was that show on Comedy Central, My Life with Busey,
mm-hmm.
that I think only aired for a season. But like, it was just a dude just hanging out with Gary Busey.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
And Comedy Central was like, yeah, this is what our network should be about, right?
Right.
Like, it's fucking nuts to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
How good is Tommy Lee Jones in this movie, though?
Quite good.
I mean, he's always quite good.
I mean, yeah. Like, all I could keep thinking was like,
the one redeemable quality, really.
Yeah. The entire time I was like, this was like, he's just doing the same thing in this that he does in Batman Forever, right? Yeah. Like, this is how he prepped for Two-Face, was being in Under Siege.
Exactly what I thought. I was like, I just want to watch Batman now.
Yeah, honestly, God, yeah, Tommy Lee Jones is one of the only redeeming parts of that movie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. Crazy.
Oh, Jim Carrey was in it too, but
Jim Carrey was so bad though.
Just didn't.
Well, it's because it was so uneven. Like, yeah. I mean,
it bums me out.
They couldn't decide if they wanted to be campy or serious. Like, you can't. I've yet to see it done well where like they merge with them, because like those Tim Burton ones are so dark.
Yeah.
And then the fucking, why am I blanking on his name?
Christopher Nolan.
No.
You're talking about after Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. Joel Schumacher.
Okay.
There we go. Yeah, those ones are just, it's like they were trying to like capture like that 60s Adam West campy Batman vibe, mm-hmm. but then there's also just like, oh, hey, Tommy Lee Jones just murdered a bunch of acrobats and made this kid an orphan too.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, you pick one side of the fence and stick to it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
It was campy. Yeah, but he did good in this movie. But I could definitely see that role coming out when he was doing it. And then I said, yeah, it reminded me of The Rock a lot.
Yeah.
You
know,
like,
yeah.
As it was going on. Just like, but 10 times worse. Because, I mean, Tommy Lee was good, but, I mean.
Well, this didn't have Sean Connery.
You're replacing Steven Seagal with Sean Connery, essentially, and then getting
that's an upgrade.
Nick Cage on the side. And Nick Cage doesn't get to be the full lead, which is, like, I think, his best way to go, because when he's the full lead, I get annoyed by him.
Well, that's
he just got a little bit of it.
Like, that, too. Like, that's a more restrained Nick Cage role.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not, like, one of the standard batshit crazy Nick Cage
movies. And it's a good role.
Yeah.
And Ed Harris steals that movie.
Oh, anyways. Yeah. Ed Harris is so fucking good in that movie.
But, never seen it.
But no one got their throat ripped out.
Keep that in mind for the future. Just going to introduce you to every action movie.
All the action. Yeah, I'm into that. I mean, I'll watch them.
Oh, you should definitely see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Rock.
Sean Connery plays James Bond, but no one paid anybody that owns James Bond to like let them do that. He just played James Bond. It was just like, yeah, we're just going to do this, but we're going to call him something else. Like, it seems super illegal. Just retired James Bond. Oh, man, no. Yeah, the birthday cake, though. Wow.
That brings up a good point for me. You've heard about the Bechdel test, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, like, this movie clearly does not meet any of the qualifications.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that the whole time, because I think there are two women in the movie, and you only know one of their names. And you only find it out like halfway through. And then the two women never appear in the same scene together.
Who's the second woman?
Yeah, where was
she?
Did she walk them into the meeting room?
Yeah, she was in the meeting.
Oh, okay.
And she didn't have a seat at the table like at the beginning of the meeting.
Obviously.
But then as they got like more desperate, she inched her way up to like being actually at the table. And I was like, okay, girl, you do you. Get it. But like, it was just what was her name? I don't even remember her name. Jordan something.
Jordan Tate.
Jordan Tate was the character's name. She played that like, she was like hot, and then you saw her tits, and then suddenly she was like this like this like boys girl like handling weapons and like teaching the like shitty laundry dude how to like load the gun
with like three lines
right, exactly. But she turns from like one stereotype to another, and then you're like, oh well, I've already seen your tits. So
yeah, that was the most unbelievable part of this movie was her just suddenly like being into Steven Seagal.
Right.
Well, then, yeah, then it flipped to
definitely sexually assaulted her.
He like Stockholm
end.
Syndromed her. Yeah. Like we're a thing now. And he like rubbed her ear. It was real weird. It was very creepy.
Yeah, it's very weird. Yes.
Like I always say, like, I feel like there's this need to shoehorn romance, like some kind of love interest, like into action movies, and I don't think it's necessary at all.
Yeah, right. Like when you said that it could have been in the 80s, and then I said, oh, then she popped out of the cake and stuff, and like it literally felt like they had a checklist of like,
yes,
here's what's like, happened the past decade of
titties?
What we, boom. We only got 15 one-liners into cut scenes, like we need at least 18. Add a couple more in the fridge, and then it's just like, how many people died in an unusual way? Knife fight.
Yep. But it's weird you mentioned the Bechdel testing, because I just went and I rewatched Predator, because they're showing it at the theater this week, and it's one of my favorite movies. But like, there's one girl in that, and like they don't she doesn't end up making out with Schwarzenegger by the end of the film at all.
Mm.
Like she's there, she has a role.
Yeah.
So like, as much as Predator is like this macho like testosterone festival, like, I think the one female character they have, they actually utilize her really well.
Oh,
and
good.
This and that was like 87, I want to say. So like, Lethal Weapon had been out by this point. Like there was this culture like of action movies at this point that existed, and they're just like, no, they don't need to kiss, they don't need to fuck, none of that needs to happen. That makes no sense for that to happen.
Yeah.
And I was fine with that. I was like, great, awesome. That's how it should be. Right. And, you know, if it makes sense for them to hook up, sure, by all means do it. But this is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
it was bizarre.
It just, you're right. That's at the end of this one, just also like, oh yeah, she's with him.
Yeah.
What's weird though, like what are the
shoved it in
action movie? I don't know. Like what, even in today, like what is, I don't know. I mean, it's not a comic book movie. Like what is an action movie? Like, how often are they coming out? Like, I mean, is it Bourne? That, like, stuff like that? I mean, there's
movies,
always the type of CIA type under investigation.
Almost
Jack Reacher was that. Like,
yeah. Kingsman.
Kingsman
would
be
really another
good
one.
That's not based. I just assumed that.
Oh, no, that is based on
comic
a comic book.
That I didn't
that
know.
Is based on a comic, so that doesn't count. Man, yeah, I'm trying to think. Snowpiercer is a fucking comic book too. Like almost everything I can think of is comic.
Yeah, anytime
books.
There's just guns or anything, I'm trying to think of like any action movies if they
truly exist as like a genre.
Yeah, well, Statham was doing them for a while, or he's always in a car.
I still think to a point they do. I think they're definitely not as prevalent as they were in the 80s and 90s for sure.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I guess just, you know, of having that.
Yeah.
No reason, just keep doing an action movie.
I think that I've seen like action movies that are also thrillers.
Yeah.
So like they're sort of like crossing genres at this point, maybe. Like Place Behind the Pines comes to mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's.
I think it's mainly The Rock's fault for just not taking over the action movie genre and actually doing other roles.
Yeah, it does rely on like
it's one
a
person.
Strong male character. That whole genre
to just
does.
Pigeonhole himself into that for 10
years.
Yeah,
and now he's like a comedian. Like he's like a funny guy now.
Singing in the animated. What was that movie?
I will say one of the examples of an action movie I can think of in the last couple of years is Haywire, which is Steven Soderbergh. I want to say it's like 2012, 2014, somewhere in there. But it's got I'm blanking on her name. It's like Carla Gugino, I think. She was an MMA fighter, but like she's the lead and she plays this government operative who
I remember
beats
that.
The shit out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
So like I definitely they still come out, but they're not there the way they used to be. And I think that was kind of part of the reason the Expendables trilogy existed, because like Stallone was like, hey, we don't make these kinds of movies anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the fact that Wesley Snipes isn't cranking out a movie every other year now that he's out of jail is a tragedy. Because he's so fucking good.
Yeah. Did he get his tax stuff figured out? Is that why?
Yeah. What did he go to jail for?
It was
tax evasion.
He just like wasn't paying taxes.
But look, if there's one rich person I'm okay with not paying taxes, it's Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. Now I wish we would watch Money Train.
Oh man, I haven't seen Money Train in forever.
I'm gonna hit him. No, I'm gonna hit him. we both gonna hit him. That's a good movie.
God, I don't remember anything about Money Train except them fighting over who got to sleep with Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah,
that's all I remember about that movie. It's been so long since I've seen it.
Are you sure this isn't a sequel to Right Man Can't Jump? Yeah, right. You just changed everything. No, no, it's a totally different movie.
It's like, no, let's try and bottle that chemistry. Magic again. God.
And we replaced what was the lady's name from White Man Can't Jump?
Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez. Rosie Perez. Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. Are you sure with the Hispanic?
Oh my God.
It's not the same movie on a train. No, it's not.
Oh man, there's something there. In fact, there's not a Passenger 57 sequel yet.
Yeah.
Like they keep going back to franchises that are like 20 years old. Like, yeah. I mean, we just got a new Alien movie again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, go back to Passenger 57. Like, we've already seen that you can't fucking make a new Indiana Jones, apparently, and yeah. a new. Fuck, whatever else has come out in the last couple of years.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
I never saw Ghostbusters. Was it any good?
I wanted to like it. I liked it, but I didn't love it, which is a bummer because I love Paul Feig. I think he's fucking great.
Yeah, he's great.
And everyone in that cast is gold. I don't know. I think my biggest issue is like for wanting to be its own thing. Like it felt like it hit like the same story beats and everything.
Yeah.
And it just like, it wasn't as good as Spy, which I thought was fucking great.
Spy was good.
Like Spy, I think might be my favorite movie that Paul Feig's done.
Yeah.
And I also thought The Heat was incredibly underrated.
The Heat was amazing. The Heat was so fucking good. I watched that a lot, actually. Yeah.
The Heat's good. Yeah. Like I enjoy that. Like,
yeah.
But Spy, I think, was the first movie I saw where I was like, all right, I think I'm on board with what Melissa McCarthy's doing.
Yeah. Cause
like, It kind of had hit that point of like, it was the same thing that like happened with Seth Rogen earlier for me. I was like, get it. He can play like this bumbling, like, awkward dude. And then like Spy, I was like, oh shit. Like Melissa McCarthy, like she's got range.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and she's fucking great in it. Like, and that movie is so fucking good. And and it doesn't hurt that Statham is such a fucking ridiculous person in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I liked Ghostbusters though. I think you're right. I think it was like very like derivative in a lot of ways, but I didn't mind it because I felt like all of the characters were so unique and like so different. And they did like introduce new humor into it that I thought gave it new life.
Yeah. And some of it absolutely worked. Like fucking McKinnon. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Steals every goddamn scene she's in that movie. Like she's so good.
Hot and weird.
For stuff like that.
So good.
And a lot of it too, I think, is unfair because like with all the fucking heat that movie had before it even come out, like there was no way it could have lived up to anyone's expectations. I think even the people that wanted to see it,
Well, it's hard with reboots or remakes. I mean,
oh, it absolutely is.
You just people's like expectations in their mind sometimes will never ever be met, and then there's always people out there that just have to give their hot take the other way on whatever it is.
It's the same with Indiana Jones. I mean, same thing. Although those movies were, well, I never saw Crystal Skull.
It
seemed bad.
Crystal Skull's bad. Yeah, it's bad. It's,
seemed real bad.
Like, Crystal Skull is as bad as any of the Star Wars prequels.
Okay.
Like, it's as bad as Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. It's so bad.
Interesting.
And like, man. Like, Harrison Ford feels like he's actually, like, showed up to do the work for, like, 10 minutes of that entire movie.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Like, the first scene, you're just like, oh, man, it feels like Indiana Jones. And then pretty much the rest of the movie is like, oh, man, I guess he's just not into it anymore. He's just collecting the paycheck.
Oh, yeah. Dang. He was so cool.
I'm trying to think the last thing I saw Erica Eleniak in, who played Miss July, Jordan Tate. And the last thing I can think of is Bordello of Blood.
Oh, I've seen
that. The second Tales from the Crypt movie with her and Dennis Miller.
Told you she was in that, but I have seen that.
It is a bad movie.
Yes, it
like,
is.
Like, I rewatched that in Demon Knight, the two Tales from the Crypt movies last year. Demon Knight still holds up. Demon Knight is a really fun horror comedy.
Okay.
With Billy Zane as the villain.
Oh, yes.
Jada Pinkett is in Demon Knight. Jada Pinkett, Dick Miller, who's a notable character actor from like Gremlins. He's the gun shop owner in the first Terminator movie.
Okay.
Thomas Hayden Church is in it as well.
Interesting.
William Sadler, who's the bad guy in Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah. Because they got real creative with those naming conventions sometimes.
Oh, Airport 1.
No, she looked really familiar, but I couldn't place her.
The three biggest things that I can remember is this, Bordello of Blood, and the Beverly Hillbillies movie with Jim Varney.
Mm. Oh man, I haven't seen
because she was
those.
She was Ellie Mae in the movie.
Mm. Okay, nice,
interesting.
Yeah, I remember seeing Bordello of Blood. I used to watch that. We're talking about being younger at my cousin's house, like sneaking that and watching it.
Yeah,
remember it being bad. It was very bad.
Like it's
like
not funny.
Jesus's blood down to like prevent them from getting into the different rooms and stuff, and it was
well, that's Demon Knight.
Oh, that's Demon Knight.
Demon Knight's the one where they put the blood like on the doorways to stop the monsters.
Oh, okay.
Bordello of Blood has Dennis Miller.
Okay, maybe I haven't seen that one then. Maybe I'm thinking of Demon Knight.
Dennis Bordello Miller. Of Blood's really bad.
Where it ends and he's trying to get on the bus, but he dropped the blood down
that's
on
Demon
the bus.
Knight.
Okay,
that's Demon Knight because that's Jada Pinkett at the end of the movie.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing that one though.
Yeah, Bordello of Blood. Oof. But yeah, though, like, and I know she's been in other stuff, but like, that's what I can remember. Steven Seagal has been like in a couple of like direct-to-video and like Netflix type movies.
Yeah.
The last thing I remember actually watching him in was Machete, and that was 2010 because he was the villain in that.
Okay.
Mm.
Machete. Yes. He's actually pretty good as the bad guy in that.
Wow. Was it more like psychological? Or what? Because like he is old as fuck.
Can
he still fight?
I mean, no, the okay. fights, it's the, they have a machete
fight
at the end.
70-degree black belt, Christine.
He's only in maybe 9 minutes of the movie too.
Oh, no way.
Cause they did the same thing with the Machete sequel. Cause Mel Gibson was the villain and he's only in it like maybe 10 minutes.
Oh,
that's but a good paycheck.
The Machete Woof. Sequel is it was disappointing to Woof. Say the least because I love Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, shit.
Did that come out as part of his double action or
that was Planet Terror was the Grindhouse movie that came out with Death Proof.
Okay,
and then Machete was made based on the fake trailer for Grindhouse.
Oh, okay. I wondered how.
And then Machete was actually really fucking good.
Nice. That's where the lady had a gun as a leg.
Yeah, Planet Terror, yeah, it was Rose McGowan. Old gun leg McGowan.
Fire off.
I can't even think of the last thing I saw Gary Busey in.
He was in a commercial for a while. That's the last
yeah, he was in that Amazon Fire Stick commercial or whatever it was.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of commercials. What was the 90s comedy he was in? It was like a Chris Farley movie or something.
Oh, Black Sheep.
Yes.
He was that weird
yes.
survivalist living out
yes!
in the woods.
Yeah.
That actually might be one of my favorite roles.
Yes,
of his.
Absolutely.
He's so good.
Yeah, he was funny in that. But again, just like that is how I imagine him on just a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, just like.
Yeah, he's not acting. He's
being just... himself.
I feel like he's probably actually really nice, though, in real life. Like, I bet he would actually be a nice guy.
I don't know. Maybe.
I hope so.
Maybe, yeah.
I think he's crazy, but I think he's, like, not the Ted Nugent kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's, like, the, don't let him have any Roman candles kind of crazy. Not, like, the, God, this guy threatened to kill the president crazy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's crazy.
Well, let's move on. As we already mentioned, there's already a sequel to this, but
oh, no.
You know, I think we're about due for another installment in the Under Siege films. So if you were going to pitch an Under Siege 3, how would you pitch it? Where would it be set? What would happen?
Oh, man.
Do you want to go first, Christine?
I don't know. I'm trying
to. If you got something holstered, go for it.
No, I'm not holstered.
A senior home. Where Johnny works, perhaps. He kicks you right out of the kitchen.
I thought about that. But then I thought, like, logically, if we're going from boat to train,
right.
That the next logical explanation is spaceship.
Mm. Okay.
Not plane. We're jumping straight into 2017.
Right, okay. Right.
It's going into space.
Yeah.
Probably to Mars. And they need a cook, obviously, for this long trip to Mars. But then they end up taking it over. And the cook, who just so happens to be 90% robot, and a 7-degree black belt, but still has the amazing delivery of Steven Seagal. Decides to come out. And you just got to take care of business because they're going to, you know, disconnect satellites, kill everybody on Earth, whatever you do in space, you know, normal stuff.
Yeah.
Take over Mars, come back, kill Earth. So that's where I would pitch. Skip the plane. The plane seems obvious. We need to take it up a notch and make him a robot cook.
All right. Under Siege 2 was Dark Territory. What's the subtitle for this one?
Galaxy of Lost Throats.
Galaxy of Lost Throats.
That's pretty good. That's how I could come up.
Christine, what do you got?
I don't know. I don't have any. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking of it in like an actual like physical place and not like a moving vessel, but I feel like that is the natural.
I mean, either thing is fine.
I don't know. I mean, put it somewhere that you wouldn't expect it to be, like a retirement community, for instance.
Okay.
And then I don't know, but then it's just funny. Like, I feel like you're just like fighting old people.
It could be a comedy.
Yeah, it would be a comedy, right?
Yeah.
You would rebrand in Under Siege 3.
They could be on a bus taking a trip with all these 90-year-olds.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, like a senior citizen bus.
Yeah.
Stopping at every Bob Evans from here.
Road trip. Under Siege 3 road trip.
Seagal's just yelling at the waitress. Professional cook, you call these over easy.
Oh man. Yeah.
All right.
Where would you put it?
Mine would be called Under Siege 3, Deadly Ingredients. And it would take place in Steven Seagal's quaint little vegan restaurant.
Perfect.
The threat comes when urban developers are trying to price him out to build condos. And of
so
course,
it's in Franklinton.
Yep. Or, you know, just any underdeveloped neighborhood of Columbus.
Yeah.
Maybe. I've never seen Batteries Not Included.
Me neither.
I mean, it also, I just watched an episode of Batman the Animated Series where they were doing that too. They were trying to drive all the locals out for development.
Yeah, that's also what happens in
Is
Baby Mama.
Just fighting gentrification.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Social justice warrior Steven Seagal.
I mean, corporate crime is really the worst crime.
It
so
white collar crime.
It's down at like a bank where they're trying to get a loan to build a condominium. It's like, I'm going to knife fight this loan office.
Well, that's the best thing. Like, all of these, like, most of it is just like businessmen. Like, so they're all severely outclassed, even by like 60-year-old Steven Seagal. Who's just beating their ass. At one point, he puts somebody into a cake instead of somebody coming out of a cake.
Oh, nice. Good. Yeah. A vegan cake.
Yep.
Gluten-free.
Perfect.
Sick.
And then, of course, he gets to bring back his line, nobody beats me in the kitchen.
There
nobody.
You go.
But he does it all the time, regardless of where he beats somebody up at.
Yeah.
Like, if he beats the shit out of somebody on the sidewalk, nobody beats me in the kitchen.
Yep.
What? Oh man,
people just think he's a crazy homeless man, but it's like,
yeah,
bring back Casey Ryback. All right, so let's go around really quick. Favorite part of the movie, favorite scene. Start with Christine.
My favorite scene is, oh god, I mean, him throwing the knife at the neck was quite good.
Yeah,
that was a really good scene. I think that's my answer.
Okay.
My favorite scene would have to be the knife fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was just, I remember seeing knife fights, but the more I watch, I'm like, this is so unpractical. Like, they're like 3-inch blades, like, mm-hmm. and they're like hitting each other's, like, their swords, like, they're giant swords.
Yeah.
Like, no, somebody like would catch somebody's finger and cut it off, and then they drop the knife and then he'd stab you and you'd be dead. Like, there's no, like, I can't imagine that's how a real knife fight would work.
Well, no, but that's it. Like, almost every time, like, Seagal, like, took a swing, like, he cut Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, no, that's about how a knife fight would play out, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. That was my favorite scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I really like that knife fight. actually, just the entire build up to that. After
his jacket was
Tommy Lee Jones. Through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They established that right off the bat. We're like, oh, he's handicapped.
Yep.
Tommy Lee Jones got a knife.
Pretty much the entire sequence from Tommy Lee Jones getting knocked on his ass when they blow up the submarine, and then he just goes like full Gary Busey for the last 10 minutes of the movie. It's like, all right, yeah, that was pretty great. Tommy Lee Jones just rambling incoherently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, that was really funny.
At one point, like, he starts talking about, I think he was talking about the Muppets at one point.
Yeah.
Like, which makes me, like, yeah, which makes shrimp, me hope yeah. that, like, he just came in there, saw that. And like just ad-libbed that entire scene.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's probably walked in there. He's like, God, Busey hasn't done a goddamn real line this entire shoot. Yeah. I'm going to ad-lib this thing. This is ridiculous. I'm going to have some fun.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up with plugs. So, Johnny, what do you got coming up?
I will have our Four Strings Brewery. We have a show the first and third Monday, and the next one will be the 19th. I hope that's right. Monday the 19th, third cool. Monday of this month.
Yep. Cool.
I'm trying to think of something sooner, but what I really want to plug is the Whiskey Bear show on the 3rd, on July 3rd, because that's my birthday.
Yeah, Monday, July 3rd. Where is that at?
It's at Mikey's Late Night Slice on 4th.
Bam, there you go.
Yeah.
The Whiskey Bear shows, you can check out whiskeybearcomedy.com, see all the shows we got coming up, including the one that Christine Horvath will be headlining on Monday, July 3rd. Coming up soonest, we have the Pop Culture Mixtape on Monday, June 19th. That's a pop culture free-for-all, so any topics are fair game for the folks performing on that. Should be a lot of fun. 8 o'clock at Mikey's Late Night Slice.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool. Well, Johnny, Christine, thank you guys for coming on, doing
thank
the show.
You, sir.
Thank you.
Steven Seagal, thank you for all that you do.
Thanks. We're blessed for you.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
He's in it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I actually, one of my favorite...
He's headlined, but like...
Yeah, one of my favorite things is John Leguizamo, when he was on an episode of Conan, shortly after that movie came out, he was talking... He wouldn't name him by name, but he's like, you know, one of the stars was a pain in the ass to work with. He gets killed 10 minutes into the movie, and when it came time to shoot that scene, he was making a big fuss, like he should have been in the movie longer. It's like, you read the script, like you signed up for this role, you knew what it was. And, yeah, like, Steven Seagal is notoriously a pain in the ass to work with.